This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and retirement authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, of course, how the election is going to affect your money. But we're anxious to get past this part. Also, we're going to preview Tuesday's Gregory Ricks Live. We're going to answer the question, what's the deal with bonds? You know, bonds dropped $1 trillion this week. Gregory had a nice little rally there. And I want you to reprise that little segment you did on the Daily Wrap about how to properly shop for a mutual fund. Been doing this show 6.5 years, and I learned some things. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can hit us up via text message on the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or you can do it the old-fashioned way, call Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. Well, first things first, our big next event's coming up Tuesday, Gregory Ricks Live. And we only have two more events left this year. And I was told by you, Gregory, earlier this week that we're going to kind of pare back the Gregory Ricks Lives, or at least the frequency of the Gregory Ricks Lives events next year.
Yeah, we're just putting a little bit of space in between them. So you won't really see one rolling out exactly monthly as some of the listeners are used to. It'll probably be like about every 6 weeks. So, yeah, it's getting dialed back a couple of them.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, though. So if you're going to get in on these, this would be easier. It'll be a little tougher just after the new year.
It's just going to make it a little bit harder to get into, but that's just kind of how scheduling works next year.
Dude, our schedule is just so decimated as of late. Well, I mean, I got a little more free time lately. But coming up Tuesday is our next one, Ruth's Chris in Metairie. So if you're listening over in the Baton Rouge area, or if you're listening over in the Biloxi area, if you're listening on iHeartRadio somewhere within driving distance of Metairie, maybe worth your time. You know, if you have a big pile of money and you want to do something with it, if you just saw the election and you don't want to have to worry about the uncertainty when you're trying to go to sleep, just staring at the ceiling, if you're close to retirement, if you're in retirement, if you have a financial issue, this is the financial first date. This is the process by which you're supposed to pick your advisor. I remember when my grandmother had cancer. You didn't just go get the cancer doctor. You shopped. You went around. You had interviews with doctors. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then when I had kids and you had to pick out a pediatrician, you just didn't take a recommendation from your neighbor and say, sure, take care of my kid. You interviewed them. This is sort of like that. You should do the exact same thing because financially speaking, the metaphor we often use is doctor. And it really is a similar process in choosing one.
Yeah, and look, a lot of people do that. They come in, talk to me, and they're kind of clear on shopping. Heck, we ask it. I don't have a problem with it. Sometimes you should go talk to the other ones before you talk to me, but I think it's an important part of the process. Or some just come in and, you know, maybe they get to our firm and then they're good. Okay, yeah, I've seen enough. I can make a decision on that one way or the other.
All right, so Tuesday's event, if you want to be a part of it, call the office for that, 504-832-9200. I'm going to throw out a prediction here. I think the over-under on the number of concern cards on how the election will affect the money, you taking the over-under on 50-50.
What now?
The number one question on the comment cards could be, how's the election going to affect my money, or the uncertainty after the election, or something about the changing of the guard?
I still think number one's going to be, will I have enough money to last through retirement?
So you're taking the under?
Yeah.
I was going to take the under. All right, good.
I still think that'll be the primary. Could you see some of those questions? Yeah. And we'll talk about it. Kind of explain the pain that's still coming.
Okay, so also we want to tell you about another event that's coming up today at 3 o'clock over here at Mardi Gras World, the Pavilion on the East Bank, Wine on the River, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. Our buddy Dwayne Stein is one of the big sponsors there, so I'm going to go score my very own mortgage gumbo wine glass. Anyway, I like being a part of these events. If you want to go, more information. You're not that excited?
That's a good reason to go. I'm looking forward to seeing his souvenir wine glass.
I'm not just looking forward to seeing a souvenir wine glass. I want to see Dwayne Stein at a wine fest.
Somebody's already started.
Yeah, the computer's getting ahead of us. Dwayne is such a character. And, you know, I've seen him when he's had a couple in him, and he doesn't cry or he doesn't get belligerent. He's just a fun guy. Like, he's kind of professional and reserved, and two drinks later, he just smiles until he's done. He's a good guy. All right, Wine on the River. We're really proud of that today.
And that's 3-6 today.
Yes, yes.
Can somebody still get tickets?
Oh, absolutely. I think you can walk up and get tickets at the gate. It did not sell out. So if you want to show up and not have a ticket in advance, they'll probably let you in for a low, low price. All right, so we got all our perfunctory stuff out of the way. Preview Tuesday, Wine on the River. Good. Let's go ahead and get started. How the election results affect your money. Well, let's look at how they affected the market. Election night, futures were down, what would you say, 5%-ish? I went to sleep a little early. The futures on election night were showing nothing but red.
Down. Yeah, it was showing as much as 5% down
in
the middle of the night.
But the next day...
And then the futures were halted. And then the next morning, buying came in, not necessarily across the board. It may have showed kind of across the board because of the way indexes are built. But it turned into a, from the Dow standpoint, actually a several-day rally.
Yeah, you had a little
optimism
mix
from the sectors that may be in favor. But the future showing that night showed that I was kind of accurate, and then everything changed by that morning. I still make the call that there's pain coming. This all isn't going to be a rosy gold brick lined street going forward. There's going to be a lot of pain, and you still have in Congress, it's not all Republicans, is it?
Oh, no.
No. So they may have a majority of the seats, but do they have the votes when it comes down to passing these bills and making changes? And look, I was reading this morning, we've already seen Trump's made a few changes and kind of backpedaled a little bit. And he could be in this transition phase is kind of keeping the door open that, yeah, we may adjust our stance a little bit because, and here's when you're in a campaign, you're really not seeing how everything works. You have a high-level view. I think when they do get to down to the final two and close to this, I think they start getting security briefings and stuff like that on what's going on to be a bit more in tune instead of all of a sudden having to, you win, okay, time to go to work. I believe they get a little bit of heads up what's going on, but that's really not their focus. Trump was not sitting around, you know, studying the Congressional Budget Office books and talking to economic advisors throughout the day and IRS specialists about rewriting the code. He was 5-6 stops every day, so it was more about what was relevant at that time. So now it's where rubber meets the road is, oh, we're having to look at this. And Governor Christie was leading his transition team, and that was changed yesterday to Vice President-elect Pence is now heading his transition team. So there's already some reshuffling going on there, and that's just, I'd say that, yeah, that's from a business standpoint. No, this isn't quite going the way I want it. I'm going to make some adjustments, and could have also talked with the congressional leaders when he had the conversations with them. Well, I need a transition team that's better understanding how everything goes in D.C. as well. So it's probably super intelligent moves instead of, well, this is, he's my friend, he's going to keep going forward. And I don't think Trump obviously plays quite that way in a sense. So, and another comment was after his conversation with Obama, there's a couple of pieces of it that he likes, that the children can stay on somebody's health insurance and something about can't be declined. You know, when you look at it, that's where they say, well, we're just undoing it completely. You know what? You really can't. Can you undo it over time? Maybe so. But there's probably some pieces that you want. There's some things that work. But, you know, what I'd like to see it back to, if you're taking my opinion on it, is those promises that were made at the beginning that you can choose your own health care. You can choose your doctor. You don't have to give up your coverage. And then to be penalized for having really good coverage. And I don't know that the young people necessarily should be punished for not getting coverage in that. So I don't know how that works, but what I think you need more of is an adjustment and a transition instead of, you know, what you yank it all, what are you filling in the gap? Because we know when they changed it, they just threw this whole plan on everybody, and it should have been transitioned in. Instead, you had these thousands of pages and nobody read, and we found out after we read it, we didn't like it. So I think his stance probably should be softened a little bit. But you got to get, you know, what's the percentage of Congress we need?
To pass something? Yeah. Well, 51% of the House, but you need 60 senators to override a filibuster.
And that's where we're short.
Yes. There.
So you've got the debt ceiling's going to be readdressed, which that was shifted, what, October of last year with Boehner and the president kicked this thing down to it comes to a head in March. They have to deal with it. So you're going to have wrangling over Obamacare, the wall, immigration, all these things he wants to do in first 30. Oh, and we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling to over $20 trillion. So how's that going to go, and how's that going to look, and are we doing a taxation change to fix that? And Blackmun was talking about it, which was Reagan's
economic advisor,
and he says, yeah, when Reagan did all this, he said, well, yeah, we had $1.5 trillion in debt. He said, a whole different time, and you got to be careful not to blow this up this time because we're already at $20 trillion.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. We're going to hear from Sockman next.
Music for your wallet's ears. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Got to go around talking about your troubles. It's a crying sin. Painted pony.
Welcome to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeart Radio. So embarrassing when you say that.
That's much better.
Idiot. Tough weekend. Can't wait to get to this wine festival.
Hey, I think I've done it more than you.
All right.
I'm clubbing that over the years.
Welcome back.
Maybe once or twice.
Back to the show. 504-260-0995. Send us a message via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app or gregory@gregoryricks.com. Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk with Wes Blanchard. He's going to be our guest in the second hour. He's the state planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority, going to be in attendance at Tuesday's event. And we'll talk some estate planning issues with him. So if you have an estate planning question, stick around. Just hang out. We got a lawyer in here that can answer some really tough questions that are usually over my head. But great, you can kind of get in a boxing ring and spar with some of these estate planning lawyers, can't you?
Yeah, actually, I can. I've had many a conversation. I remember one last year where clients in Florida were looking at putting money in a irrevocable trust, and it was really their IRA. And it just turns out, and then I had a conversation with their attorney, and it all sounded real good. And he sounded very qualified and knowledgeable, but there was a couple of things that stuck in my mind from the conversation. So the next morning, I had Anna. I said, Anna, dial up our clients in Florida, the particular couple in Florida. So I asked them a few questions, and it turned out, I said, oh, no. You cannot do this because you're going to blow it up. You won't know you created a taxable event because you're both dead. If this plays out this way, but this cannot go this way. So, yeah, I am not a master elite IRA advisor for nothing. and I know this stuff backwards and forwards, and I spend a lot of money and put a lot of time and a lot of years into being this knowledgeable about IRAs and all the things affected, whether it's you're doing a self-directed IRA for the purpose of putting houses in your inside of your account, or if you're setting up a trust and wanting to make sure the kids don't blow through the $2 million IRA account you're leaving them. And we know how all those rules work. And then if I have some doubt, I've got the research material to go back and look at and verify. And there's time to time, somebody will ask me a question. I said, look, here's how it's going to work. But what I want to do is go re-verify and make sure we're absolutely clear on this, because you just do not want a mistake on these types of accounts, especially when it's an estate planning attorney that wants to title it all in there. And what they're doing in that case, what he's really doing is justifying his huge fee, because there was not much money outside of it. So it's really taking care of the car, the house, the savings account, checking account, a little bit of non-qualified money, but majority of their assets, IRAs. And they don't need to go into an irrevocable trust. They have a beneficiary designation. Oh, well, we're protecting it. Well, it's protected up to $1 million under federal law that you can't be sued for your IRA. And so what happens is, well, that's a big block, and they've got to somehow justify that. And what Wes does for us is we put that through an inherited IRA trust. And really what it is a pass-through trust. You know, that's something we won't today, but maybe we need to go through again. And we did it a few months back. And as time flies, it may be more than a few months back that I covered how all this works. But I think it's something we should cover from time to time so that you understand if you're wanting your IRA money protected and bulletproofed and to pass through the family in a manner that you want it to, you've got to make sure it's set up correctly. And the one thing we don't want to have happen is it blows up and becomes a taxable event at death.
Yeah, because that money goes to Uncle Sam. Didn't have to. Could have gone to your heirs. Which do you prefer? It's just going to get squandered anyway if it goes to D.C. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're going to be talking about with Wes Blanchard coming up in about 40 minutes. So, estate. I always get the feeling that, you know, when we do the show, we're hitting about 11,000-12,000 people on the air and on the stream and all that good stuff. Well, I guess more since we added the affiliate. Someone out there is putting together their estate plan this week, and they're thinking about this, and they turn on the radio and they just heard it. The math tells you that when you're talking to a few thousand people, you just hit someone right in the heart with an arrow. Don't be shy. You can call. But if you are shy, email, call the office on Monday. Remember, GregoryRicks.com. Don't just sit there and not get help. We just described your situation. Maybe you're busy changing the oil filter on your car and you can't get to the phone real quick, or you're driving down the road and you don't like doing that. Just don't go this alone. People lose thousands and thousands of dollars from the tiniest mistake in estate planning and financial planning and tax planning, all this other stuff. So just don't forget. Maybe Monday when you get back to business and roll around, call the office. But hey, if you want to get it done quick, Wes is going to be in studio the next hour. All right, so David Stockman, I believe you said Blackman in the last hour. We need to get it together, dude. Did we already go to the Wine Fest? Is that what's happening? Did we do that before the show? Former Reagan economic advisor.
I'm trying to remember who David Blackman is.
Me too. Hey, you know what the weirdest thing is when I went and looked this audio up to record it this morning, I actually typed in Blackman. So we must have said it on last night's show too. But you saw that he was going to be on Wall Street Week, the Fox Business show, last night, and you said, hey, Parker, I'm watching this. I already hit the DVR. We're going to get this. This is going to be good for tomorrow's show. And we've already learned our lesson with this guy. When this guy's on TV, you listen. So former Reagan economic advisor David Stockman on Wall Street Week last night, the Fox Business program, saying basically the debt is a ticking time bomb and neither side is going to be very helpful.
In the days following Donald Trump's victory, the market's reaction has been overwhelmingly positive. But our next guest seems to think that it won't last.
Let's welcome back former budget director under President Ronald Reagan, David Stockman. David, yeah. When you joined us about a month ago, right. You sort of warned viewers to go to cash. You thought the markets would be very volatile. Obviously, we've had this this Trump bump.
Right.
But you're very concerned now, despite what Mario was just talking about, the sort of growth acceleration. Your main concern right now is what's going to happen in terms of the deficit.
Yeah, we have to be focused now on the morning after, not the giddiness of the 2 days after. Two things have happened this week that are just shocking, like political, economic, and financial earth, you know, has gone out of its orbit, I think. Now, one was the asteroid.
One thing I want to point out here is that he already said what you need to be focused on is what happened the morning after when he's talking about the futures and not what happened the day after. He's more concerned about what you were concerned about, that 5% drop in the futures before they halted it, more so than the green that happened the next day. And if you get away from the Dow and you look at the NASDAQ and the more broad S&P, they did not have a good time the rest of the week. Their fund stopped Thursday morning, and it's been on a decline since. You pointed out to me, rightfully so, because I went back and checked all the charts and graphs after the show yesterday. You're right. The Dow is fooling everyone. This market is not okay. It's being buoyed by a handful of stocks. And if you go look at the other indices, the fun's over, and we're back on our way down. I thought that was really cool that he said that right after you said it on our show last night.
Well, I'm glad you went back. You're like checking up on me on those numbers that I gave you, and it's just not that many companies that are driving that. We have four stocks out of the 30. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Pfizer, and United Health on Thursday that was really driving the market. That's, you know, not very much. Now, of course, remember indexes, so if one moves, they all kind of feed into it.
I hate to interrupt you. What were the four stocks?
Goldman, JP Morgan, Pfizer, and United Health. Four stocks out of the 30.
So the two biggest banks, a drug company and a healthcare company. That totally makes sense. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the driver, but it's also on a narrow breath, and we're getting technicals flipping back. It's like light switches. They're just popping on and off. A lot of confusion out there. And then we're getting technicals that are showing there's a bigger problem coming. And that's what Stockman is alluding to as well.
All right, let's do cut B. I promise I won't interrupt you this time, Angie. This one, front to back. Go ahead.
Forecast now happens, and we start to actually pay off the deficit after we grow it. What's wrong with that?
Because there is $20 trillion ticking time bomb called the debt ceiling right in front of us. That will happen in March. The new Trump administration is going to inherit that mess. I call it a stink bomb left from last October when they made that deal, Boehner and Obama, right, for the new president, and it's going to consume the entire first 100 days trying to get that thing through. Republicans are not going to want to vote for a $20 trillion debt ceiling. He's going to have to go to Democrats. When you go to Democrats, they say no, no on Obamacare, no on some of the big regulations that you want to lift, no on a big tax for the wealthy. We'll argue with you on the tax cut for corporations and how we're going to do it.
All right, so neither side's going to help this dude out. He's making a good point. The Republicans aren't going to want to raise the debt ceiling. The Democrats aren't going to want to compromise on any of these other spending programs or deregulate or any of the other things he promised. And all this is going to happen in the crucible of the first 100 days.
Yeah, the first 100 days is going to tell a lot. Of course, they want to get out the gate really going on this and make things happen. But it's still, like I spoke about in the first segment, you're going to have some help from the Democratic side, really in the Senate in that case. And to work on this debt ceiling, you know, the Dems understand Obamacare is broken. So I think there can be some middle ground, but to just yank it all out, not happening.
All right, when we come back, we're going to continue with former Reagan economic advisor David Stockman on Wall Street Week last night. He's going to tell you why the CBO projections are a fantasy and what we should do about the Fed next. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Let's play it. Leave it
up for the weekend. Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. place where you can get your financial fix today for a better future. That's why we want a better future. I think that's what the market was saying. We want things to get better, change. Let's fix some things. Well, you might need to fix some things in your portfolio. You might have a question, whether it's about those A-share mutual funds, that fixed annuity. What's up with variables? REITs. What's an institutional fund? Phone number is 504-260-0995. It could be that 401k. What do I do? We had a caller last night on the Daily Wrap asked about, he said he was contacted by his 401k administrator, said, you've put too much in. You can't put any more in. And then they said, well, if you spread it out next year, you get all your matching. And we should replay the conversation for him. That was a good clip, actually. But if you want to call us, once again, 504-260-0995. Email me, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com. So you know the website is GregoryRicks.com. And do as all so many listeners are doing. They download the app and go to the Winning at Life tab and message the show. So go to your app store and download the app.
All right. Continuing with former Reagan economic advisor David Stockman on Wall Street Week last night. This guy's singing my song all of a sudden. You know, it's very rare they have these guys that I agree with about everything they say in an 8.5-minute interview. But this guy was tickling my fancy. I feel the same way he does. We're about to hit another recession, and it's not going to be pretty when we get there because there's no tools left in the toolkit, Gregory.
Yeah, I like how he puts it.
The market was giddy on the view that Washington is coming to the rescue with a huge new fiscal stimulus and infrastructure and all that. That is dead wrong. The newsflash is that Washington is out of business. The Imperial City is in smoking ruins. It
Love
will
that.
Not function. It will be acrimony, confrontation, brinksmanship.
So if you were advising...
And well, if I could just finish, so one point, that means we'll hit the next recession with nothing to break the fall. The
okay,
Fed's
so
out of dry powder, and Washington will be paralyzed.
Washington will be paralyzed. The guy's talking over him, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
The Imperial City is in ruins. And I like the way he describes that, because you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the capital city of the Hunger Games. And we're not quite to the Hunger Games, but it's on a similar model, that's for sure.
Well, going back to our Halloween show, we did, which was the kind of the scary, and I painted a future that we could possibly head towards, and that's where we would be heading, is a future like that where half the population is on welfare. Well, they'll call it a working wage then instead of non-working wage in the future, but if we don't make some changes, yeah, we're looking for a bleak future. And I kind of like what he said about the recession. You know, he said, nobody goes that, it's never in history gone that long without a recession. And
that's coming up in two clips.
Okay. Well, I'll stop there. But he talks about there's no powder dry, no powder left.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. Remember, this is the David Stockman guy who turned around Jimmy Carter into the roaring 80s. You know, and it was more this guy than Reagan himself. Reagan just knew to take the advice of this dude who clearly knew more about economics. And
yeah, once again, he was not one that was sitting around studying economics, had his team of advisors talking about it every day. He was about winning an election. And it wasn't his thing, but bringing in the right people. And if that person's not getting it done, you swap them out. And Stockman's going to talk more about that as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's cool is David Stockman doesn't look that old. What is he, maybe 70? So that means when this was all going down in 1980... He was, how old does that make him, 32, 34, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he was a young guy. And they're pitching a couple of other people, somebody to replace Yellen. It's like...
That's coming up as well. Here, let's just go through the clips here. We're getting ahead of ourselves. The next one, some fiscal advice for Trump.
The advice I would give him is that he cannot... rebuild defense, build a wall, enforce the borders, spend more on veterans, have a massive tax cut, have a huge infrastructure program, and not touch Social Security or Medicare or any other entitlements. That is Reagan fiscal follies on steroids, And we could do it then because we only had a $1 trillion national debt. We got a $20 trillion debt now, and we got $10 trillion more built in. In other words, before one Trump program is enacted, there's another $10 trillion of red ink coming from what's already there.
Yeah, how do you deal with what's coming and fix things that you don't have money for? That's pretty scary right there if you understand the magnitude of that.
Yeah, new programs, new spending, new infrastructure. That doesn't sound very fiscally responsible. And give this guy credit. He said that was the Reagan fiscal folly on steroids, admitting they didn't get everything right in the 80s, admitting he got some things wrong. And what was that? It was the overspending. Other than that, he was happy with what they did. We'll continue with David Stockman in just a second. David and Slidell, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Hey, Gregory, I just wanted to thank you. I called a couple of weeks ago about having a feeling that Trump might win like a Brexit-type vote, and you gave me some good advice that no matter what happens, that if he did win, if it would go down or go up, that it would all kind of rebalance. And I tell you, it was great advice. I kind of held steady, and now I'm glad I did. So I just wanted to call and thank you for that. And, hopefully Trump will surround himself with some good advisors and we'll get this economy rolling.
Yeah, I agree with you, and hopefully he does, and it gives us some optimism that we're not going to have just another 4 years of nothing getting done. I think some things are going to get done. It's just not going to be easy and definitely isn't going to be painless. But I was watching Wall Street Week last night. They kind of patted themselves on the shoulder. Yeah, we called the election the day before or something, and then there was somebody else that they showed a clip of that had called it some the bond,
Jamie Dimon,
Gunlock,
yeah,
and he kind of had called it some 6 months ago, but you know what, we called it as well. And I talked about it weeks and months out, but also when it ultimately came down to our Monday night show, I just reiterated it and said he's going to surprise you with some flips. And it was nothing personal, not emotional or anything. And look, yeah, I voted for him, but there was nothing personal in that statement other than the facts that we were basing things on. And hey, I'm not going to complain about the outcome.
And David, thank you.
Let me ask you one other question. So, would you trade a little bit of debt, a little bit more of debt? I mean, we just, got nine trillion more of debt and gotten no growth, no nothing. So, don't you think it would be a better policy if we traded a little bit more debt to get the economy jump-started, get these tax reforms in, and then start worrying about paying down the debt, say, in year two, year three, year four, down the line?
Here's the thing. We're going to have to increase the debt because you can't just walk in there and slash $500 billion, $600 billion off the budget. You put us into a recession immediately. So you're going to have to create, and we'll call it slack. You got to have some movement because of what you don't know that's coming. And then you've got to grow the GDP, the economy, to catch up. You can start freezing things and start catching up. But as Stockman stated, we have all these bills coming due, and it's Medicare, Social Security, the Disability Trust, all, $10 trillion more in bills that's going to pile on. So this is a monster to try to fix. We are not paying down the debt ever. Can we stop the deficit spending is what we've got to figure out how to do. We're talking about $20 trillion. That's just, I can't fathom any possibility of paying that down. Can we just stop the overspending?
Yeah, hey, David, you just gave us the biggest compliment we could ever ask for. The fact that we do this show to help people, when we hear that it actually did help someone, that's why we do this, David. So thank you very much. When we return, former Reagan economic advisor David Stockman again. Now he's going to talk about those CBO projections being wrong. Just, it's a unicorn. It's a fantasy. Who should be the next head of the Fed? And you're going to like this last clip. Why he watches the IRS and not the BLS. 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You've been saying you need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Coming up in the next hour and starting in the next segment, Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. He's our go-to guy for estate planning issues. So start thinking about your calls for next hour. In the final hour of the show coming up at noon, we're going to talk a little bonds and we're going to talk mutual fund shopping here. I saw a great segment with Alan Greenspan on bonds this week and finally had a chance, had a little free time yesterday to go back and grab it off of Bloomberg. You're going to love what he said. And how old is this guy? 100?
He's going to live forever.
But he looks like he's 100, but when he talks, and clearly his brain is all there. He's 100% still as sharp as he ever was. So that gives me
hope.
I'm
sure he remembers clearly one of the rules he figured out is don't pop the bubble.
Yeah.
Don't put the pin in it. But also in that last hour, I want to touch on something that we have in the past, but I want to touch on again is structured settlements. It's something very confusing tool, financial tool out there that's actually much scarier than people realize.
All right. Former Reagan economic advisor David Stockman on Wall Street Week last night was looking at the Trump plan, how he's going to bring down the deficit. And he has a similar criticism that I've heard from both sides of the aisle on this one. Man, this economic growth projection, 7-8%. A little bit of a fantasy land, but Stockman takes it a little further than that. Why the CBO projections have to be wrong.
Is the growth projections out there realistic? Will there be the kind of GDP growth with the tax cuts and the changes that he's suggesting?
That's the skunk in the woodpile. The growth in the baseline is totally unrealistic, the CBO baseline. It's rosy scenario. So if you did everything Trump wants to do and it works as well as the supply siders say, you'll be lucky to get what's already assumed. That's the point. There's no extra revenue. There's no deficit reduction. If you do everything he wants to do, you have to do that basically to reclaim. And here's why. The CBO baseline assumes we're going to go for 208 months without a recession. It's never happened in human history.
There it is.
Right. So, I mean, what are we talking about there? That's like 6 years, 7 years without a recession? I mean, I'm sorry, 17 years without a recession. Sorry.
Yeah, and I think we're already stretching it.
Right. That would be a historical first. Again, a unicorn, not happening. He just did that to make the math look good. But I'm not a big fan of projections anywhere besides 2 years out anyway, because it's not like whatever budget you decide on now is going to be approved in 8 years. There's going to be a whole different set of people in power with a whole different set of circumstances, and they are not going to keep going what you set in place 8 years ago. But the next clip. You mentioned this earlier. I had to cut you off because I didn't want you to spoil it. This is David Stockman, the former Reagan economic advisor, talking about what we should do about the Fed. Who should run this sucker next?
Whether he keeps Janet Yellen through her term, there'll be probably a new head of the Fed. Who should be the head of the Fed?
Well, I mean, if you wanted someone who really knows what they're doing, it should be Jim Grant. Jim Grant is a student of central banking from day one, and he understands that we don't need price controls on money and debt and the stock market. We need price discovery. We need to let people, millions of people who are out there in the market, determine what the interest rate is, what the money market rate is. And
he's
so
also for a stable, fair currency as well. I mean, yeah. So some of our viewers may not know who Jim is, but he's a legendary newsletter, Grant Interest Rate Observer.
Yeah, I mean, he's been studying this for a long time. But the point is, we need to get the Keynesians out of there. I think they made a mistake this week when they said, well, we're going to replace Janet Yellen and Fisher, but we'll let them run their term. A huge mistake. Big mistakes will be made in 2017 unless they get those two Keynesian money printers out of there, and they can. All they have to do is say, I have no confidence in you. You've made a mess out of this. This bubble is going to crash. I would like you to do the decent thing and resign.
Yes.
Okay? That's simple. But then that would wake up Wall Street to the fact that the days of the Fed basically keeping you in ever-rising prices are over. That we're in a totally new ballgame. So the thing I want to summarize with is that we're entering a chaotic period. of non-governance, of a central bank that can't function anymore, that's out of dry powder. There's nothing to rescue this economy. We're going to have a recession.
I just pulled up Jim Grant. I really was not aware of this fella, and he's got a bi-monthly newsletter. I will be a subscriber come Monday morning of his stuff, but he's born in 1946, the year interest rates put in their mid-20th century lows. He founded Grant's Interest Rate Observer, a twice-monthly journal of the financial markets, in 1983, 2 years after interest rates recorded their modern-day highs. He's born in New York City, raised in Long Island. There's a lot more about him, but you know what? We're going to bring him into the mix. If he's that man, we need to know his thoughts.
Well, I like anyone. David Stockman used the term Keynesian money printers as an insult. I like that. That is an insult.
Now, he didn't say it, but what he talked about, ever-increasing prices, but what he's talking about is the stock market, because they just keep the zero interest rate policy going, the printing of money philosophy that, yeah, we'll go back and do that. If he goes in there and says, look, I need your resignation, well, she don't have to give it to him, but that wouldn't sit well, would it, going forward? And make changes. Oh, yeah. Talking about rattle the markets. I know. Yeah, change is definitely coming. That would not surprise me, that request.
Okay, and the final cut from David Stockman, why he watches the IRS, not the BLS. Now, the two data sets he's going to reference here, we did both of these on the show last week, but we didn't do them on the same day, and we didn't put them together like he did. I told you the IRS had a record revenue collection for the month of October in the history of the United States, in the history of mankind. No government's ever collected more wealth in 1 month than we did in October. Still ran a big old fat deficit. But we also on Friday reported the BLS numbers, and the unemployment seems to be kind of iffy. But listen to how David Stockman puts them together on Wall Street Week last night.
I follow the IRS, not the BLS. The IRS tells me how much money they're collecting, and it's been flat and actually negative for the last 4 or 5 months, even on payroll taxes. And that means the economy is long in the tooth. It's slipping into a recession. When the confrontation over the debt ceiling happens, when the disappointment over no traction on the Trump stimulus happens, we'll be in recession. I will say in 6 months, the deficit will explode to over $1 trillion annually. They're not going to be in a position to do all these huge things. Now, I don't blame Donald Trump. He is inheriting a mess, a rigged system that is far worse than anything even he imagined, and he was colorful about what he said.
When you think about it, what just popped into my mind is, okay, Obama's been in there for 8 years, and what typically will presidents do, administrations would do, Congress would do is, okay, the numbers look good over this 4 year or 6 year, 8, maybe 10 year period, but then all of a sudden you have a big step up that all of a sudden those bills come due. And that's what's coming due that they've packed away and said, look, I'm out of office then. That's not on me. We need to make it look good here. And that's kind of brings up a concern, is what's the surprises that's in the budget that's going to blow it up?
Well, we know a couple of them. That was one of the complaints about the Affordable Care Act, is that the real heavy stuff hits in 2017. It's not even fully implemented yet. We all realize that, right? We don't have the full set of tax penalties that are going to be visited upon us until next year. The first year he's out of office, that's going to be the end of the full implementation. And the first full year of Obamacare, as it was intended in total, is going to be in 2018. So that's one thing he did, but that does fit the model of how they think. Is once I'm out of office, next guy's problem. How do we make my next 4 years look good?
And whether it's a mayor of New Orleans,
yes,
or
boy, isn't that the truth,
or governor
again
of Louisiana, or president of the United States, we've seen that time after time that the budget gets kicked down.
You're noticing a pattern here, aren't we? And I guarantee you, Trump's probably going to do the same thing. I mean, I don't know. We don't know what this guy is. I mean, he is a big fat question mark. But I'm pretty sure he's going to keep that pattern going. I mean, Look, I'm no angel. I probably would too. What makes me look the best for the next 4 years? I got a legacy here. Next guy's problem.
So but what I would like is, and will we get this for Trump, is tell us the truth. Like, okay, yeah, look, just walked in and, yeah, we showed up right before this train wreck's about to happen. And here's what they did. And here's where this is going. And this is what we're going to try to do. And this, and instead of all this soft peddling and everything's fine, the economy's on track, you know, and that's what we've been hearing for years now, is how everything's so good, when in truth, whether it's the economy or ISIS, I kind of like to know some of the truth. I think I can handle it. Maybe not everybody can, but I kind of want to know.
Bad news is good news.
Yeah.
Right. All right. If you have a financial situation or an estate planning question, Wes Blanchard is going to be joining us for the next hour. He's our estate planning attorney. Why don't you call Gregory and Wes? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We do this every Saturday, 10 to 1. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, 401KN Retirement Authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. You know, we do a daily wrap every weekday at 7. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. We've got Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney, the Total Wealth Authority, in studio to answer any of your estate planning questions. If you've got a financial or estate planning question, this is it's an hour for you. And let's just go ahead and get right into it. Bob in New Orleans, you're going to be first up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Bob?
Yes, I've got a question about inheritances. Got a daddy still alive. I have a brother and sister who will be inheriting everything he has. He's got a house. He's got three or four different life insurance policies, some stocks. And I'm just wondering, what's the way to go about avoiding probate, successions, and pay the least amount of inheritance tax?
Sure. Well, obviously, it's a really good question. I think it's a great question to start off with, especially with regard to inheritance tax. You know, I always enjoy sort of informing the public on this one, because it's always really good news. The inheritance tax in Louisiana, per se, is gone. They've eliminated it. So Louisiana as a state is not going to tax your father's estate. So you're good there. And then the federal level, unless your dad's estate is worth over $5.45 million this year, he's also not going to be taxed by the feds as well. So, there's a huge chance that he's not going to qualify there. If he does, then, it becomes a little more complex. But assuming he doesn't, you're free from federal estate tax. Taxation right. as well. So just getting that out of the way, that's a really good tidbit of information to keep in mind. With regard to avoiding the probate process, the best thing to do is to open up a trust. And their revocable living trusts are increasing in popularity, I think, by the day. And frankly, most of the clients that I sit down with, they come in with no estate plan. But once they hear the benefit that a revocable living trust can offer you, mainly being the avoidance of probate, which is what you're seeking here, that is a big turn on for them. So when you're looking at your father's estate, that's the main route you want to look into, is establishing a revocable living trust. You place essentially all of his probate assets, which wouldn't include the life insurance that you had mentioned, but the home and the bonds, those are going to be placed into the trust. And so what that does is it gives it a different legal identity. The trust now owns that property as opposed to your father personally. And so with that said, the court doesn't need to administrate his estate, because the trust actually owns it and not him. So thereby you're able to bypass that probate process. And you know, it's a good system. It's one that I think works particularly well. It's much more efficient than the probate process most of the time, and I really think it, you know, gives you some peace of mind sort of going into the transition and know that it's going to come out really smooth.
Okay, and once he passes and all the money is in the trust, do you dissolve the trust? We have to split it three ways. What do you do to get the money out of the trust?
Sure. So a successor trustee is going to be named, a lot like an executor would be in a will. Okay. So essentially, it's a party that's going to take over for your dad once he passes away, and their job is to come in and administer the trust according to the term. So if it's being split three ways, let's say we'll assume that he names you as a successor trustee. You would come in, make sure that everything gets split up according to the terms of the trust. And after everything has been split up and distributed out, yeah, you can go ahead and close up the trust. Now, sometimes trusts have different terms that require them to remain open. For instance, if you're distributing money, you know, every 2 years or based on an achievement or something like that. But other than that, assuming that it's just an outright distribution, yeah, as soon as you distribute all the assets in a trust, you can fold it up and it dissolves.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help. Helped out a lot.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right. Can I get super simple here before we go to our next call?
Sure.
What does that look like? Do you get, is there a bank account that writes you a check from Daddy's trust to James Parker? Or, well, like, does the trust have its own bank account and its own?
Sure. So, yeah, the bank account is definitely one of the biggest parts usually. What happens is, you know, let's take a simple couple, for example. What they have is a joint bank account. You go in and retitle that bank account into the name of the trust. And so you provide the bank also with documents showing, hey, we're the two trustees. We kind of run the show while we're around. And then when we pass away, here's the person that we have in charge. And so they know who has the authority to come in and distribute all that money.
Okay, so it can just stay at the same bank. It just gets retitled?
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, that sounds a lot simpler than I expected.
Yeah, it's usually not too hard. And look, every institution has their own particular set of rules. Some may allow you to retitle it. Some may say, look, we're going to open you a new account. Just do a simple transfer, close the old one, and now you have a trust account. It really just is a matter of what their preferred procedure is.
Wait, so do you have to actively go close trust? Like when you're done with the trust, you just leave it hanging and it dies on the vine, or do you have to go sign a piece of paper that says this trust is done?
No, it pretty much dies on the vine because it doesn't own any more assets. And so it's really sort of like an LLC out there that just doesn't have any asset in it or any equity or anything like that that's worth it. It's functioning. So there's no because the trust itself is a private document, there's no necessity of actually signing it saying, look, we're going to dissolve it. I mean, you can for formality's sake, but if you want to leave a debt on the vine, it has the same effect.
So out there right now, legally speaking, there's just millions of trusts that are hanging wide open doing nothing.
I'm sure there are. But again, remember, a trust is essentially a contract, so it's not as if, you know, it's out there hurting anybody.
No, I just mean sort of like a zombie trust. It's never going to die.
It's like an executed contract. Once everything has been performed under the terms of the contract, contract's there. You know, it's wrapped up.
Very cool.
Yep.
How you doing, Wes?
Doing pretty good.
Can I, again, before we get to the next call, you look a little more well-rested than last month.
Yeah, we got the little man on a
They don't know you have a baby. You
we do.
Got a baby.
I have a two-month-old son. He's doing great. He's doing much better with sleeping. He's sleeping through the night at the moment. Hadn't started teething yet, so we'll take advantage of that while we can. But, yeah, I'm much more well-rested these days.
Yeah, as a father of four, who has the youngest one's just one, I like to watch the other people. Your turn to suffer, new parent. How do you like that? Not sleeping. I hadn't slept since 2010, bud.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, well, I'm done now, so that'll take good care of that. So that sounded like the most simple and common form of trust. Is that just a novice observation?
It is. The observation's not novice. No, it is. It's a very simple form of the trust. Now, obviously, you know, you can get a lot more complex if there's tax implications. Certainly, you'll get more complex. But a lot of times, the more frequent complexity you see is in the distribution structure itself. As we were talking about, you know, maybe biannually you would schedule payments, or if he or she would graduate, you know, college and things like that with a certain GPA. All of those things are issues that can be a little more complex when it comes to the terms of the trust.
All right. Looks like we're going to step aside for a break. Ronald in Picayune, Mississippi, you hang on for 3 minutes. We're taking your call the second we get back. I appreciate you hanging on. If you want to be after Ronald in Picayune, 504-260-0995. We've got two gurus in here. We've got an estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard. We've got Gregory Ricks, the financial ninja. Help you with anything. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Joining us in the studio for this hour is our buddy, Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority. If you have a financial or estate planning question, not quite sure what to do, now's a pretty good time to call a radio station for the first time in your life. 504-260-0995. Hey, Ronald, thanks for hanging on over in Picayune. How can we help you, sir?
Thank you. Appreciate you taking my call. I took out an annuity with Aviva about 7 years ago and started drawing on it when I turned 70. It's been about 4 years now. But about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Aviva sold my contract to A-Team. And then I just heard recently that A-Team was making some risky investments and maybe some lawsuits coming up. I just wanted to know where I stand in something like this. I didn't know whenever I researched Aviva, felt very strongly about their competency, but I had no idea that they could turn around and sell my contract to somebody else.
Okay, so, Ronald, this is Gregory.
Okay.
Athene bought the company Aviva. It was not just some of selling your contract over. They acquired the company. So there is consolidation even in the fixed world. Is your value more or less than $250,000?
It is less.
Okay. Well, you have some other backup things that are going on in there. Now, I just did a quick search regarding structured settlements and Athene, and I did see something pop up on some class action, and I would have to go more into what's going on there. It's not, you can pull up most any major firm and find a lawsuit against them. It's just business. You can pull up Apple, one of the greatest, wealthiest companies on the planet. Guess what? They're being sued. Exxon, they're being sued. It doesn't mean that they're getting run into the ground or something's going on. It could just be a governmental agency suing them because, hey, we don't like the way you worded that contract and we want it to change. And they're saying, well, we're not changing it. Okay, we're going to sue you to change it. So don't necessarily take the word lawsuit and frame it as everything's going bad, because these companies have to take and put money in reserve. They have to go put it in basically treasuries and high quality bonds, and they have to manage it. They have 50 insurance departments looking at them to make sure all the numbers are doing what they're supposed to. And then you probably have FINRA oversight as well. So none of this is taken lightly. Now, what you may not know is each state, and you're calling from Mississippi, and Mississippi has a guarantee act as well. And it's basically insurance companies pay a fee into the state guarantee act, and that protects the life insurance and annuity holders that if a company was to get into major problems. Now, for example, in Louisiana, the Guarantee Act amount is $250,000, and you're under that amount. And I think that number is the same in Mississippi. I would have to look it up. Some states are a little bit higher, but you really don't have anything to worry about, even if they're was a problem of instability, and I don't think that's the question really here or you should be concerned about.
Yeah, when I took out the annuity, I think I was told that the insurance rate here in Mississippi was $100,000.
Well, I'm going to see if I can pull it up here and see.
I had a little bit more than that put into it, and I'm sure that by now it's probably down about the $100,000, what I've got left.
Mississippi Guarantee Association.
Here, I've got annuity benefits, $250,000 per contract owner.
In Mississippi?
Yeah. Allocated group annuity benefits, $250,000. Unallocated group annuity benefits, $5 million per contract owner? What's an unallocated group annuity?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's, well, I've never dealt
with
that
before. I'm more worried about the individual. I'm not worried about some group or something like that.
Okay, yeah, and the example they use, if an individual owned three $100,000 annuities with the same insurance company, they would have a guarantee of $250,000. It's $250,000 no matter what.
Yeah, it's $250,000 per annuity per company. So,
okay.
So it means your aggregate is $250,000. So you're good there. And I would have gotten some feedback already if there was some major problems, because we're really tight and in the know on the top companies there. And there is a lot of money behind Athene. They're not, they've got equity partners, tremendous financial capabilities, so that's, I just don't really see that as a concern, but I will check further into it this week, and we can talk about on next Saturday show a little bit more.
Sound good, Ronald?
Yeah, that makes me feel good.
All right.
You very much.
Absolutely, and thanks for thinking of us when you had a financial issue. Yeah, just a quick Google search. I think it looks pretty solid. I would also like to add that they have a pretty stellar campus in West Des Moines. That is a beautiful little piece of overhead they got there, their headquarters. All right, if you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. Let me go ahead and add on to that estate planning questions, because we got Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney, sitting in the room with us. Hey, look, it's Scott calling from Washington Paris. What's up, Scott?
Hi. I'm working, and I intend to work until I pass away. I'm 69 years old. I'll be 70 in about 4 months. Social Security I haven't taken. They're sending me a letter that I have to take it, and I'm asking, should I go ahead and give them a bank account number and get it put in right before I turn 70?
You plan to continue working past 70?
Sure.
Okay. There is no reason to wait on turning it on. Now, even though you're still kicking into Social Security, you could see adjustments tick up a little bit in the future as you continue paying into Social Security, even though you're drawing on benefit, because it's really based upon your last 35 years. But there is no deferral increase, where you've been getting an 8% increase in deferral since your full retirement age, which, assuming 65, 66, it's not going to increase anymore except by your credit. So all you're doing is leaving money in the treasury if you do not turn it on.
So you suggest go ahead and get in there and give them my...
Yeah, get your money.
Yeah, okay.
Because it is your money. Get it.
There's no benefit for me to wait till I'm 75.
No.
No.
You just gave up 5 years worth of distributions.
So I probably should have started taking it at 65, but that's...
No.
No. You got a heck of a check coming your way, and you've deferred... If you've deferred for 5 years, you've increased that monthly check by 8% a year. You've done one of the rare things. Most people turn it on at 62. Then another group turns it on at 65, 66. It's rare air for you to have the ability to defer and create the biggest possible check to take Social Security from. Are you married? You have
yeah.
a spouse?
Yes, I am.
Well, she should love you because you're going to leave behind a big check if she outlives you.
Yeah, and Scott, only about 2 to 3% of men have been able to do what you do and defer until 70. So you really are in rare air. You've done well.
Well, thank you.
And congrats.
I intend to keep working.
But what kind of awesome job do you have that you're so excited about working for the rest of your life at 69?
I'm a lawyer.
Okay.
There was some reason I was thinking this guy's a lawyer. I don't know. Just had that vibe.
Wes, did you get that vibe? You have the lawyer blood.
My dad worked till he was 94, but he was a surgeon. I don't know if I'll get that far, but. There's always somebody beating on you.
Right.
Talk to you later. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that's more of the future, though, because, what is 70s, the new 50, for example,
yeah,
if you phrase it that way. We have longer life expectancies. He sounded great. I'm sure he's in good health. He sounds excited to keep working. And maybe they won't beat up on him too much at the firm there. But that's where I think the future for all of us is. You could call it a day at 55 or 59 from that job. But what are you doing the next 30, 40 years? Plus, you're going to need more money. That's a lot of time to draw on a retirement.
You can only play so much PlayStation.
Keep going, And if they're going to have you, I'd keep working. If you love what you do. Now, if you hate it, okay, yeah, retire and go find that thing that you love that you do. I think it's more of the future with people living so long.
Yeah, but if I had like $4 million drop out the sky, y'all aren't seeing me again. I quit.
That's sad.
I do plan,
we'll miss you.
I do plan on working
a little while
until I do plan on working until I die, but that's only because I picked one of the laziest, easiest, like less laborious jobs to do. Radio. I just talk. You could cut off my arms and legs. Well, give me one arm. You can cut off one of my arms, two of my legs. I can still do my job. That's my piece of optimism. All right, back to Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney. You're going to be at the Gregory Ricks live event coming up Tuesday. And I want to ask you first things first. Did the election have any big effect, or you think it's going to change what you do in some way going forward?
No, not yet, at least. I've been saying for a while now, one of the main topics that Democrats and Republicans can actually agree on is seeming to want to eliminate the federal estate tax altogether. That's kind of been
really?
On the table. Yeah.
Because I know some people who love it and they want it to be bigger, and they were the runner-up nominee for the other party.
Yeah, well, it's such a great thing to talk to your constituents about, though, right? You say, look, you're not going to get taxed again when you pass away. But then again, on the flip side, that's also why it's in place, because nobody's complaining when you tax them because they're dead already.
Yeah, right.
Right. So that's sort of the trade-off, but that's kind of been on the table a little bit and used as a, I don't know if it's been a bargaining chip much, because I'm not too privy to some of the negotiations that they've been having, but my understanding is that that's been something that's been relatively agreed upon for a while, is that look, they're going to look into it. And I think my take has been, look, if Republicans did wind up winning the White House, that there was a better shot than if the Democrats won the White House. So I think you might see that play out. Now, certainly there seems to be much more important things to take care of, and certainly in the first 180 days at a minimum.
They can't do anything until they get rid of this debt ceiling and the budget.
Yeah.
The first 100 days are already accounted for.
Exactly. I was listening on the way in, and that's exactly what I was referring to. I think there's some things that need to be prioritized.
Joe and Hammond, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Joe?
Good morning. This question's for Wes. My question is, I have hesitated from still setting up a trust because I'm not sure where I'm going to be retiring at. I'm not sure when my time comes where I'm going to be living. Would it affect it at all if I set up a trust while I'm living in Louisiana and retire to Florida or wherever?
No. In fact, it wouldn't. Look, if you set up a trust here, it's going to be valid in any other state. And actually, there's a kicker to it. If you move to a different state that for some reason had a more favorable option, or something that, an estate planning attorney, for instance, in Ohio or Florida said, look, you have a really good option based on your set of circumstances, you can actually do something that's called change the situs, S-I-T-U-S. But essentially, it's opting into the new law of the state that you moved into. So if you become a domiciled resident of, let's just assume, Florida, because that's a great place to retire, you can actually see if you can see about changing the governing laws of that trust. So setting it up here is not going to be any sort of a detrimental decision if you decide to retire elsewhere.
Okay. Because we've talked about setting it up. I'm 53 years old. I haven't set up anything yet because I'm not sure, where my family, kids are going to be and where I'm going to retire.
Sure. Well, look, I'll tell you this. Even if you decide to hold off a little longer on the trust, that's fine. But at least get a will in place. Get something that says, look, here's what I want to happen. Because, we kind of talked about it last time I was on the show about how everything gets split up amongst the kids. And there's half ownership and naked ownership and all these other sort of things that come into play. And everybody has certain different rights and powers and all that when that happens. So at least get something to be a stopgap in the meantime.
All right, thank you very much for your call, Joe and Hammond. Situs, you lawyers are so adorable. It's like, what do we change when they change the site? Well, that sounds too normal. Regular people may understand that. Why don't you use the Latin word for site? Okay, we'll use situs then. That way, normal people can't understand. So you get paid. That's how you get paid, isn't it, Wes?
It is.
You're very clever. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker with Wes Blanchard on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, who's in studio with us on iHeartRadio.
Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We do this every Saturday from 10 to 1. Weeknights, the daily wrap at 7 o'clock on iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. James Parker's co-host and Wes Blanchard of W.J. Blanchard Law is in studio. I want to give you a couple of numbers here. Historically speaking, 2017 will have a Republican in the White House, in case you didn't know. Republicans controlling both the House and the Senate. Here's the stat, though. Over the last 80 years, this could give you some optimism here on the market. Despite Gregory's warnings of this is going to be tough and others that year, like Stockman that we talked about in the first hour, over the last 80 years, the S&P 500 has gained 11.7% per year total return when the White House and Congress were controlled by the same political party. Now I want to go back and do some research. Which was it, the Democrats versus Republicans, how that looked also? So we'll give you more update on that stat.
So Wall Street wins when DC's unified. That's not very comforting, is it? I mean, it sounds like a nice stat, but when you reinterpret it, it's like, oh, well, so long, Main Street. All right, Wes Blanchard's in studio with us. He's the estate planning attorney, the Total Wealth Authority. You're going to be there Tuesday, right?
Yes.
All right, we got another Gregory Ricks live event. This is the post-election spectacular. Actually, I'm getting sick of saying that word. It's just the new era spectacular. So Tuesday, Ruth's Chris in Metro. It's worth driving in, even if from Mississippi, because you can handle Mississippi estate planning. No.
I'm
Do you not. Have to have a separate license? Because you
Correct.
Talk about it all. You just know all the
Correct.
Rules?
Yeah, well, I know the basics of it. But yeah, there's always a disclaimer. I'm not licensed in Mississippi. So anytime somebody calls in from Mississippi, I can give them sort of the rundown. But I can't do a whole heck of a lot with regard to setting up an estate plan. That's going to, I can validate under Mississippi law.
Well, let me just interject there is one thing about it. Trusts are trusts.
Right.
Wills are wills. Now,
right.
There's some different things. Louisiana, I'd probably say, is the more difficult state because it's kind of like the odd state out. There's only, what, 1, 2, 3 states that are kind of weird like Louisiana. The rest of them are more uniform. But trust fundamentally do their different jobs, revocable, irrevocable, IRA, inheritance trust. And, of course, a will is kind of direction. So whether you're in Mississippi or Louisiana, it's just Wes can't represent you
Correct.
In Mississippi.
But how do you know all these differences? We've been bringing you in here for show after show after show, and you seem to know it pretty well.
Well, you know, you kind of know the audience, and I try to educate myself to make sure that I'm useful. You know, I know that's the point of this program, and you guys are really good at it, so I don't want to lag too behind.
Well, does Mississippi have forced airship?
I don't believe they do. I think Louisiana is really the only state that I can name off the top of my head that does.
I'm going to do a Google.
Mississippi
then.
Is joint tenant with right of survivorship. It's forced to the surviving spouse.
Correct.
If you die intestate, it's going to the spouse.
That's it.
Oh, look, forced airship is an ancient civilian concept. Louisiana is the only is the only state in the which has forced airship as law.
Yeah.
If you die with two or more children, then the forced portion is one half of your estate.
Correct.
Which must be split with the forced heirs.
Okay. Yeah. And just so we'll do a quick refresher, just so that we're not speaking too much legalese here. But
on ancient civilian. Right. Concepts.
I really like that ancient concept.
Yeah, that was a heck of a way to start it, right? But all right, so a forced heir is any child of the person who's passed away who's under the age of 24 years old. Once that person reaches the age of 24, he or she is no longer going to be a forced heir. But a child of the person who's passed away can be a forced heir regardless of age if he or she is permanently disabled to the effect that they're incapable of taking care of them, themselves, or their estate. So the threshold is, are you under 24? Then you're forced heir. But there's an exception that says, look, if you're over 24 and you're incapable of taking care of yourself, then you can also be a forced heir. And there's some other nuanced rules about, you know, who can come in and be a forced heir on behalf of their parent, if they would have been a forced heir. It's stuff that you really rarely see, but we're not going to delve too far into it. But I think it's something worth knowing. A lot of folks, I actually had one recently that says, look, I want to write my child out of the will. And I said, okay, how old? Well, he's 21. He's really making some bad decisions. Well, I said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, kind of stuck with it at least for another 3 years. You know, you can do what you can, but he's going to be entitled to one quarter of your estate since he's your only forced heir at the moment. So just a quick refresher, just so you know. The other thing that I ran into within the last couple of weeks here has been these printout wills on online, or whether it's LegalZoom or wherever else folks are grabbing these wills from. I think it's really important just to refresh on this as well. Look, if you get that done, if you want to try to save a few bucks, just remember you get what you pay for. I had a young lady come in. And she had a will that she had grabbed off of off the internet. And look, the language was great. She just, you know, she needed a couple of adjustments to kind of make it work for her, and that was fine. But when I looked at the form of the will, it was inadequate. And so it might have said exactly what she wanted, and she might have saved a couple hundred bucks by grabbing one off of Google or LegalZoom. But when that was passed through probate, that would have been nullified by the court, and her estate would have passed on as if she didn't have a will at all. So it's important to make sure that you follow the guidelines that are established by the Louisiana Civil Code. You need to make sure that your will conforms to the requirements. And so, again, if you want to try to save a few bucks, the best thing I can tell you to do is to try to write it by hand. But even then, it gets pretty tricky. It has to be all in your handwriting. You have to sign it. You have to date it. If it's more than one page, put page 1 of 2, or 1 of 3, 2 of 3, whatever it may be. You want to make sure that you have all of those requirements satisfied. But again, if you're going to give it a go on your own, you're in better shape writing it out in your own handwriting than you are grabbing it off of line, because conforming with those requirements.
No
are a
way.
More.
Better with yeah. better handwritten than even the online stuff.
Well, look,
huh?
If you really, again, I mean, you know, this is to my detriment here, but if you're going to give it a shot on your own, maybe you handwrite it as you see it online. Because the requirements for handwriting, again, are just sign your name, okay. Make sure it's date, and make sure it's in your handwriting, and make it known that there's, you know, a signature on each page for you if you have more than one. With the typewritten ones that come off of the internet, there's a lot more formality. You have to get it notarized. You have to make sure all the dates are clear. You have to have certain clauses and witnesses and all these things that generally you're not going to find. That's why you need to see an estate planning attorney when you're trying to plan this stuff out. But again, I understand not everybody's, you know, in a position where they can afford to spend some money on it. But you're in a much better spot just writing out a simple will, handwritten will, than you are trying to pull it off the internet and get it to conform.
Now, is that a Louisiana thing, or is that all a graphic diatribe that you just blew my mind with apply to others?
Yeah, that I don't know. I wouldn't see why any state would have an interest in sort of discontinuing the ability to handwrite your will. It seems like something that would be pretty standard fare.
Did another quick Google search here, learning a little bit today. Napoleonic Code is Louisiana. No other state has a Napoleonic Code. There is a province of Canada that has a Napoleonic Code. Quebec makes sense. They're the French one. And you go over there across the sea, France does not. They've amended it so much that it doesn't resemble the Napoleonic Code, but it did. So how are we stuck with a system that literally Napoleon put in place in 1804? But none of the other states have, and no other country has.
Well, you know, I think that's just typical of Louisiana, right? But to be
clear, can't they change that? Can we just pass a law and say, all right, there was enough of this use of fruct and forced airship?
Yeah, maybe so. And I'm certain there's legislative reasoning behind wanting to keep everything in place. Look, we've got – I like the codal system. I think it's great. It's specifically spelled out. A lot of states, they rely on common law, which just means that it's all case related. So there's a case that stands for this precedent and another case that stands for the next precedent. Whereas Louisiana has a code in place where you can just type in, okay, I want to look at Article 2340 or whatever. Go look it up, and it's exactly what it says. It's unambiguous. It's clear. And there might be some cases that sort of maybe shed some light on unique situations that apply that particular statute. But it's, for the most part, a very clear start. But interestingly, it's actually a blend of French and Spanish law to a certain extent, because as you know, we
bounce around between the two for a while.
So we do have some influence there. It's not just the architecture.
All right, that's Wes Blanchard in studio with us. He's our estate planning attorney, going to be in for one more segment. So if you have an estate planning question or a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better give us a call, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Welcome to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Wes Blanchard's in the studio. Of course, Gregory's hanging out. This is a punk move right here. My old man texts in to the show. So each page of the online will needs to be signed. Don't answer it. Call in, Dad. What are you doing? But he lives in Texas, so I don't know if you know the rules.
That's something out of my jurisdiction.
It can't be that different, though, right? Or does it help? Or would you do it? Or would you recommend it? Just, you can't call. You can't. You just got to float in the text. What's the matter? You shy, old man? I don't think my dad's ever called into any of my shows. I've been in radio for 14, 15 years and never heard. All right, so we'll be happy with this. I mean, that's... That can't hurt.
No, it certainly couldn't hurt. I can't imagine that it would disqualify your will in any way. But look, in Louisiana, that's it. So if you print out one of these online wills, you got to sign the bottom of every page. You got to have a clause in there that says the witnesses were here. You got to have a clause in there that says I've read this and I've understood this to be my will, notarized, two witnesses, like I said, you know, dated. It's all of these things that, when you're putting together these generic wills online, you get somebody to buy them for $49, you know, you don't have any liability for that once that happens. I mean, you're just saying, hey, look, here's a will. Here's a good starting point for you. It's a bad situation to be in, I think.
And, Dad, I'm just giving you a hard time. You don't have to call if you don't want to. Just like to pick on my old man.
He's got to use his pass, man. He's got a special way in, and that's it.
Yeah. Know? Well, I do that with this show all the time. I have these own little personal issues, and I just exploit my friendships with Gregory and Wes Blanchard. And, hey, what's in this for me? So, Wes Blanchard, state planning attorney. Let me ask you, what do you think the number one question you're going to get at Tuesday's Gregory Ricks Live event?
You know, I do get a lot of questions about the differences between wills and trusts, and most folks are trying to figure out which one's for them, and you know, whether it's a question about what benefits a trust has or how much it, you know, how much it would take to actually get one set up, what your options and things like that. But that's the main question that we usually get. Sometimes we do run into questions regarding IRAs and 401ks, life insurance and things like that. And it's important to remember that those contract-based assets, those pass outside of your probate estate. So if you have an IRA or a 401k, it's really, really important to make sure that you're on top of those beneficiary designations, not just the primary beneficiary. So if you have one, James, and you know, you have a 401k set up. You name,
I do.
You name Monique here as the...
She's the hot redhead.
The hot redhead. Yeah. You name her as the primary. You have to look one layer further as well.
Why is that?
Well, you want a contingent beneficiary.
Like, what if we die in the same car wreck?
Well, not only that, what if you outlive her, right? I know you're never going to die, as you always say, but, you know, that's the situation you want to think of is, okay, what if you're the survivor of the two parents? Who's going to get it now?
Okay.
But yeah, again, the common disaster thing is always on the table, unfortunately. But yeah, look at those beneficiary designations again, because it's not something that passes through probate. It's a contract-based designation. So that company is going to be required to pay out based on what you guys have agreed upon in the contract. Have that primary beneficiary there. I'm sure you guys all know who that is. But also have contingent beneficiaries. Make sure that those are already in place. You don't want to find yourself in a situation where it kind of happens, because once it occurs, you can't undo it. You can't add a beneficiary after you've passed away. So that's something to keep in mind. That's just, you know, free estate planning. There's nothing, no money to be made there. That's just sort of keeping up with your own assets.
Well, look, I loved everything you just said there, but that wasn't a question. I asked, what's the question you get the most? There wasn't a question mark on any of that.
Well, no, we started with the question being, you know, what's the difference between the will and trust and what options and
benefits. I'm just giving you a hard time. You don't have to take me serious that much less.
I told you, that's that extra sleep kicking in, I remember. Right?
Yeah, there it is. Getting saucy again. I like it. Welcome back, Wes. Yeah, he'll be with us Tuesday, Gregory Ricks Live, Ruth's Chris in Metri. And if you want to reserve your seat, you can't just show up like the wine festival. You got to reserve your seat in advance. Call the office, 504-832-9200. You can also reserve your seat on this cool little app all the cool kids are using, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or the old-fashioned way, gregoryricks.com. All right, Wes Blanchard, we have 6 minutes in here, and I want to try and squish in some more personal beneficiary discussions.
Sure.
Here. All right. At what point do I need to update my will? Because I got a will. I've had some kids. I'm sure I need to update it now, right?
Well, yeah, certainly. Anytime you have additions to the family, but also subtractions as well. Anytime you have a family event, that's always a good threshold to think about updating it. Anytime you have a substantial increase or decrease in assets would also be a good reason.
Okay.
Anytime maybe one of your beneficiaries that you had listed has a substantial increase or decrease or an addition to his or her family. Those are things, it's all financial and family-based events that you should allow to trigger you know, a thought to say, hey, do I need to take another look at this?
Is it going to be a big change, or do I just have to add in the new names, you know, because I cranked out 4 kids in the last 6 years, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, all of your kids are under the age of 24, so
yes.
They're going to be forced heirs in that regard. But yeah, you definitely want to make it known, obviously, that you have these children and state their birth dates. I always do that just so that it's clear that at the time the will goes through the succession process, whether that child is over or under the age of 24, there's no necessity of filing a birth certificate or having that person appear or sign an affidavit saying, hey, this is my birthday. You're clear just on the face of the will. It's generally not a very big change other than that. Obviously, you know, if you wanted to make additional changes such as who gets what percentage and at what time and things like that, it's going to be a little more of an undertaking. But for the most part, you're in solid territory as far as just a quick, simple amendment.
So would you say a major life event, when you retire, you probably need to redo your will?
Well, you at least want to think about it, right? And again, I mean, that's again, where the beneficiary designations on your retirement plan should be looked at again. But when you retire, you know, you're going to start thinking differently in the way of how you're spending your money. You might start looking, you know, at an assessment and say, hey, look, I really hadn't thought about how I want to distribute all this out between the kids in the last, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. And things have substantially changed. You know, my daughter's doing great. She's a high-priced neurosurgeon or something like that. And then I got a son right now who's, you know, struggling for work because the oil field's so up and down. And so you might want to say, okay, look, if things happen to go the wrong way sooner rather than later, I think he needs a little more help than she does. And so those are things, again, that you want to keep in mind.
That's very nice. I think my sister would probably help me anyway. But I've noticed in some families, beyond my nuclear family, it doesn't always work out where siblings are willing to share.
Yeah.
Your job has to get absolutely nasty sometimes.
It does at times. But, you know, planning is definitely the first step in making sure that it doesn't. And so you can avoid it. Look, if it's going to come to a head, that's just how it's going to be. But you can really narrow all the issues. You can sort of deal with some of the, you know, periphery, the tree branches, if you will, and just get straight to the base and say, look, here's what we want to address if it's going to come to a fight. But, you know, again, those are things that are going to happen, but try to avoid them at all costs. Be forward, be direct and upfront with your family to the extent that you can be, and you don't feel like you're playing favorites.
Okay, so in review here, what places have the Napoleonic Code?
Okay, so Quebec and Louisiana.
Yes, that's right. Who doesn't have the Napoleonic Code?
France, yeah.
Isn't that the craziest thing? And our word of the day, this is a Sesame Street ending to Wes's hour. The word of the day is?
Situs.
Situs, yes, he got it all right. And that is Latin for sight. Okay, cool. Hey, if we do the show for another 6.5 years, maybe I can be some sort of hybrid financial that's legal advisor guy. You still probably wouldn't want to sign up with me either way. All right, Wes Blanchard, can we talk football? We only got 1 minute here, and I've noticed this guy is a football genius, wizard. Saints. Playoff possible because it started off 0-3, and you looked at the math. Only 2% of the teams start off 0-3 ever make the playoffs, but now they seem to be in it.
Look, it's not impossible, and I think we have a very winnable game on Sunday. You know, the
against who?
Against the Broncos. And look, as good as their defense is.
It's a bold statement by Wes.
As good as their defense is, they can be run upon. I think they're ranked 29th in the league against the run. So Ingram,
the Denver D?
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow.
So Ingram had a huge day last week, and Hightower did too. So if they can get back on track, the O-line keeps playing the way they have been, I think we can slow the game down. Plus, they're also missing their top corner. Aqib Talib is out, too. So that gives Drew a little more space to work as well. So I think we're in a good spot. Their offense is anemic. I'm feeling good about the game. I'm looking forward to being out there on
Sunday.
Well,
that injury kind of evens the playing field. You know, we're kind of short players on defense because of the cap.
How amazing is that going to be if we make the playoffs with a $42 million dead cap hit?
It's tough, though, man. Look, Atlanta's on a roll right now. As much as I hate to say that, they are playing really good football.
Give me 20 seconds on Dak Prescott versus Tony Romo.
Dak Prescott cannot be pulled out of that team right now. They're 7-1. He's taking care of the football. Tony Romo, look, you know what you're going to get
Amen.
With him.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah, loss.
Dak is an angel sent from heaven. He and his little co-cherub there, Zeke. Sorry.
Zeke is unplanned.
Thank you, Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney. See you Tuesday at the Gregory Ricks Live event.
Sounds great.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Hour 3. This is it. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We started at 10. We are going to 1. We're followed by Mortgage Gumbo and Dwayne Stein at 1 o'clock.
Another great big football fan. Member of the Total Wealth Authority will be at our live event on Tuesday. Gregory Ricks Live. He's our go-to mortgage guy. Well, he'll get it done, too.
Absolutely.
He'll just put that little bald head down and run right through whatever Red Rover line you put up for him. We got a packed hour. We need to start with this one because first things first, what's the deal with bonds? They dropped $1 trillion in value this week. That's huge. I got Alan Greenspan breaking some of that down on Bloomberg this week. We'll get to that in a minute. Also, you've got to walk through what you did a couple days ago on how to properly shop for a mutual fund. I love that segment. And we got to start now with structured settlement action.
Well, actually, I worded that wrong. Structured notes. And we've seen
the difference.
Well, structured settlement is like a lawsuit settlement using annuities to pay out that settlement.
Oh, like it's my money and I want it now kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is
structured
notes. Let me pull up. Where's my document I just had up here? There it is.
Well, I'm wearing out Google today.
Yeah, structured notes. And here's one of the cases. Existing client come back in, and he had pulled some money a little while back regarding that. Just a second. Let me check with the boss here. We're having doubling up on the stream again.
Ah, fix that stream. Okay.
Yeah, need that stuff fixed. So we got listeners across the country that can't hear this important stuff here. So apologize for that, but we're working on it, and I'll speak to those that fix things tomorrow.
We get things fixed around here.
Monday, so we'll get it fixed. Just bear with us for a few seconds or a minute. Okay, structured notes. And basically, it's a financial product. But as I was saying, had a gentleman come in a few weeks ago and wanted to discuss that with us. He had put some assets into one, I guess a year or so ago, probably better than six figures, is $100,000+ that he put into it. And then he came back and said, look, I'm interested in doing another one. And he said, this firm showed me this information and gave us some product number, so to speak, for that structured note. And he said the person that he was talking to said, I do not know why people are just lined up out the door wanting these, because they're unbelievable financial tools. And it's attractive to those that want income. But I'll start off the story, and then I'm going to tell you why. But we started off as we took a pass on helping the client with that. We told them, if you're wanting to move assets somewhere else and go do that, that's your right to do so, but we will not go forward in assisting you with that. So a structured product or note is an investment vehicle that promises to pay a certain yield over a period of time, like a certificate of deposit. It has a maturity date and a specific rate of return and is usually underwritten by a bank. Importantly, unlike a CD, there is no government guarantee involved, and you may never get your money back.
This kind of sounds like a bond.
Remember rule number 3, return of your money is more important than return on. The you may never get it back. See, in recent years, structured products have come in all shapes and sizes, and are called everything from principal protected to reverse convertibles. Banks and Wall Street brokers have sold more than 50 billion of them the last year. Since these products have been pitched with principal protection guarantees, they appear to be secure. Yet the underlying valuation of the derivatives is not transparent, and you could lose money. The banks love them because they can sell them to income-oriented investors starved for yield, and everybody's starved for yield these days. It also doesn't hurt, at least to those selling them, that they carry high commission and fees. Might be the incentive to tell somebody, I don't know why they're not lined up out the door, but these things are great. So says the salesman.
Yeah, and now I know why you want people lined up outside the door buying them.
Yeah, investors have lost more than $160 billion in structured and complex income investments. Why haven't you heard about those? Maybe it's a good thing you haven't. But one of the reasons may be they are loosely regulated. And here's some specific problems. No regulator vets them before they hit the market, and they continue to be hugely profitable for banks and brokers. Morningstar, which is an important research firm for us, can't track them because pricing is not posted daily. That's a problem. Each one slightly different, and they are more opaque than a black box.
Okay, so that's just like, hey, I want to buy some stock in Apple. What's the price? I don't know.
And can you get your money out? I don't know, but we'll guarantee it for a year, and then it. But what does the guarantee mean?
Like, I know I bought mine at 90.
It could all be gone.
Right.
It's difficult to get inside of one of these to see how they work and how much they will cost you once underwriting fees, commissions, and other embedded costs are subtracted from your principal. The acronym RICH, mind-numbing prospectuses spell out some risk, but do little to clearly explain the cost or the real downside of these complex vehicles. Many brokers themselves do not fully understand how they work. Here's the worst part about structured products is that you lock up your money for years in hopes of getting a better return, up to 30% in some cases, yet they are actually wagers that limit your upside and downside, so no one really knows what will happen until you reach the maturity date. And it's like impossible to undo before the maturity date. You'd be much better off in a low-cost exchange-traded fund, ETF, or hedging a position with an options contract, provided you understand them or work with a registered investment advisor who is a fiduciary. My last thing is, what's certain about a structured product is it is really an unsecured loan to a bank. You will not get your principal back if the bank fails. That's what happened to investors who bought more than $1 billion in principal-protected notes from UBS Investment and other brokers in 2008. They were issued by Lehman Brothers, the debt-engorged investment bank that failed in September of 2008. If you choose to consider a structured vehicle, I certainly do not recommend them. You need to have them vetted by a registered investment advisor or a chartered financial analyst. An RIA who doesn't work on commission can decipher pricing and customize them to your portfolio. We aren't going to have anything to do with them. So you come to us and you want explanation, and we figure out this is what you're looking at and it's one of these structured notes, we will take a pass. We're going to explain it to you, but we want nothing to do with it. We consider an alternative investment, and we hate those goals of the risk.
All right, I'm trying to digest all this real fast. Quick summary. So
that's
this
a lot.
Sounds like a bond, but it has less transparency.
It sounds like a CD type bond that provides some guarantees, but that's an illusion.
Okay, so no transparent or less transparency, more risk. So what's the appeal?
And you can't undo it on demand.
You can't list it and sell it, huh? Like a bond, you can't list it and sell it.
Well, there's no pricing. So if you're having to unwind it, you're probably going to take a pretty big hit. Otherwise, if you put money into it, you have to leave it there to maturity. It needs to be that block of money, and you need to accept that you may not get it all back out.
How do they sell these to anybody who's not a dupe? Yield? Is this people chasing yield?
It's chasing yield. and it looks good from that and sounds all good. And hey, if this, and look, if this happens, you could get your, we'll buy it out early if there's a certain market move. But what if the markets don't do that? I just don't want that exposure. That's too much unknown. That's like, I'm gonna, you can put your $100,000 into this stock, but you know, we're not, you know, it's complicated. We're not going to have pricing. There's fees, commissions. We're hedging it, and in 5 years you can get your money out, provided everything worked. Now that's the summary, but they're going to give you a prospectus full of acronyms and wording that's complicated, but just to simplify it, hey, it's paying you 6% return. You could get more upside if this happens, and in 60 months you can get your money out, provided everything works.
That's how they sell it to you?
I assume so, but I'm just trying to simplify it, but we don't want anything to do with it. And our warning is, and this is the warning right here, is everything I went over with you is what you need to understand. It is a complicated tool, and people have lost money. This is not your granddad's CD.
So when you, you're warning people about it, I think another, something we should go over again, what were some of the other names they call it? They may not call it a structured note. One of them was a reverse conversion?
Principal protected, reverse convertibles. Mostly we hear it as structured notes.
Okay.
And they're using a lot of derivatives under this. You know, what do we call back those real estate investment trusts, mortgage-backed MDS,
credit MDS, default swaps,
mortgage-backed securities? How did that go in 08? This is just another version of that, and it's totally unregulated, and you're not getting daily pricing. If you're not getting daily pricing on a security, and this is a, I look at it as a security, it is, then why would you put money in it? And what's my exit? Can I ask for my money out? Or at some point, can I get it on request? And if the answer is no, you need to think hard.
So I kind of like the description. It's an unsecured loan. Just add it can't be recalled.
Yeah, and it might just evaporate.
Alan Greenspan next, talking about what's the deal with bonds. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Ain't it fun?
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. Where you from? You might be the one who's running
things. Well, you can ring anybody's bell about to get what you want. Welcome back, Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. If you have a financial situation, maybe it's about that structured note, like, what? I've got one of these? Or that A-Share mutual fund, that annuity, about that 401k, 504-260-0995. Email me, gregory@gregoryricks.com. Oh, download the app. Go to your app store, Gregory Ricks and Associates, and you can connect to the show, message the show directly. Go to the Winning at Life tab, and then you'll see message the show. Hey, here's a whoops from this week. On November 8th, 2016, the political website 538 was projecting a 71.4% chance that Hillary Clinton would win the presidential election with 302 electoral college votes, 70 more than she actually one. Oops.
That's close. It's close. It's fine.
They still, let's see, what is it? We've still got races that are under, there's, where's another number here? Yeah, we've got results, governor races. Look, I'm just seeing, there's still, for the House and the Senate, there's still races that are undecided.
I don't think we know who's right now, who has won Michigan nor New Hampshire still. I don't think they've actually signed on the dotted line. I think it was one of those where it was a close enough margin, it triggered an automatic recount, and we're not going to know for a while. Thank goodness
the election results don't hang in the balance. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to look this up on the break. You said they spent or they sold $50 billion in those structured notes last year. Or I think that was for 2014. Last year they had data available. You know what the NFL's revenue was last season? The NFL's revenue is expected to be $13 billion this season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Makes them look like little guys compared to the structured note business.
Kind of makes me wonder why I haven't heard more about structured notes, but they have different names that they market them under. And the network contract to broadcast all the NFL games, just a little over $7
billion. Well, look, we've done research into it, as you can tell, and we talked to our custodian, which is Fidelity Investments, and they didn't know a whole heck of a lot about them, but it seems the big banks with brokerages seems to know about them and have them, but I don't know that that's a good thing. Remember, what are these big firms really trying to do is create retail products to sell you. And what is a mutual fund? It's a retail product for the most part. Are there institutional? There are different types of them. But at the core, it's once again, it's a structured product to sell you that generates fees.
All right. Let's talk about some bonds here. Did I see a 10-year treasury finally making some gains here?
Yeah, and that, we were talking about that yesterday at the office. It's like it's unbelievable that now you've got a 10-year treasury that, darn, a few weeks ago was below 1.5, and now it's above 2%. So remember the seesaw.
All right, now we had Alan.
Interest rates go up, what do the bond values do?
They go down.
They go down, and that's what you're seeing.
Okay, so a
big move.
This is a weird situation where a bond rally means existing bonds are getting cleaned out. So Alan Greenspan was on Bloomberg this week answering the question, how long can the bond bull last?
How long do you think the bond bull market can go on? What's going to burst it?
Well, it may very well be the fact that we're moving into the very early stages of inflation acceleration. And that could be the trigger. But it's always been a very unusual bond market. We've never seen anything else like this at these low rates. For a protracted period. We've never seen them, period. And the result of this is that we have no way of getting a historical handle on how to handle this, except to say that there's only one long-term direction in long-term interest rates, and that is up.
Alan, I want to turn back to the presidential election, yeah. As I say.
So the history we were looking at, we made the point that they've never been this low in the history of the United States. He takes a little longer view. He says going back thousands of years. We're going to hear in a little bit, but
it is. It's historically lowest rates ever that we've seen treasuries at a few weeks ago. And it's been that way for a while, not some surprise. And then all of a sudden the price movement.
Yeah. And like the old saying, whenever you're on the North Pole, every which way you go is south. Doesn't matter what you, and that's where bonds were. When you're at what did it get down to? Like 1.32% or something ridiculous like that?
52-week range is 1.323, and the highest over the 52 weeks is 2.354, and that's going back to December 4th of 2015. Is kind of looking at that yield range, and yeah, it's just. Look, we need to be above 2. Will we stay there?
I hope so.
Well, you know, we've got a Fed meeting coming up, and what they decide and then how the market reacts over that. You know, when you all of a sudden have a lot of money leave the market and pushing into bonds, you're going to send that yield down again. And that's despite last December we had a rate hike, and what have we seen bonds do since that rate hike? Go to record low levels.
Weird. Okay, so next question. I loved his answer on this one. How long can we survive on credit alone?
So, Alan, thus far, we've gotten through this by just borrowing more and more and more. When does that end? What are the factors that will keep us from continuing on that path?
It can go on for a remarkably long period until those who are lending the money revolt. I see no sign of that yet, but if the early stages of inflation, which are now developing, take hold, you could get a fairly major shift away from these extraordinarily low yields on 10-year notes, for example. And I think we're up in the area of 3 to 4 or 5% eventually. That's what it's been historically for not only 100 years, but thousands of years. And this is an extraordinary period in which rates have been held down merely by the fact that the government has set in motion a set of circumstances which enforce that. This cannot go on indefinitely.
He's talking about the Federal Reserve. Whole purpose was to drive down yield. That's what the money printing and all was about, is to drive down yield.
But he really tacked on a lot of context there, because we've talked about how this is the lowest it's been in the 230-year history of the 10-year Treasury. He says that anytime you lend someone money in a bond form going back thousands of years, you usually get 4 to 5%. That's what it's been historically, no matter what the civilization, no matter what the currency, no matter what the economic conditions. It's always been about 4 or 5% if you want to borrow money and pay it back 10 years later. And we've been doing it at what, 1.32% now?
Have we ever in history did what we've done the past decade? Well, not quite that far back, but goes past 6, 7, 8 years. Has anybody in history printed $4.6 trillion and put it on the books at the Federal Reserve?
But when we're doing something economically that hasn't been done in thousands of years of economic history, why is this considered to be anything other than a disaster of an economy? How can you say, well, everything's right, the economy's rocking and rolling?
It is a disaster of economy, because they were also going back to Helicopter Ben, was expecting to unwind these assets after they stopped, and they've not unwound any of it because they did not expect the rates to stay this low. They expected to get them low, but then normalcy would take off, and it hasn't.
Man, you walked right into the next clip where Alan Greenspan says getting back to normal is going to be completely destructive.
At what point does it become a problem? So 4 or 5% historically has been quite normal for the Treasury to borrow at over 10 years. But this time around, is 4 or 5% a problem as far as you're concerned?
Well, it's a problem as you're going from where we are now to 4 or 5%. If we could wave a wand and just immediately reproduce 4 or 5% and wipe out all the history of the last 5 to 10 years, we'd be fine. But there's a whole structure of adjustments which have taken place basically since 2008, which have to be unwound. And that's not going to be done without a problem.
Maybe we should just hire this guy back. I know he's like 95, but he's all there. He's nailing it.
Oh, he's explaining what's going to happen. Getting it done is a whole other thing. He probably wouldn't want that job either, because what you're talking about is popping the bond bubble and the equity bubble. You're talking about going to 4 to 5% rates. That changes pricing of everything, because everything's priced based upon the yield. And so, yeah, you're devaluing bonds across the board, and equities are going to take it on the chin as well, because you're changing evaluations because they're competing against yield.
And
think about it. If you could go get 4 or 5% on your money without risk, what would you do? Let me see. I love possibility of losing money in the stock market, or I'll take 4.5% guaranteed on a 20-year treasury.
Well, that's why they need to raise those rates like 5 years ago, please. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. You're listening to iHeartRadio.
I want a scotch, I want a beer. I'm having a record year.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Song, I pass my time with these speakers on 10. You're good and gone, keeps me up all night along the song. having a record year.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, Weekly Wrap. This is Gregory Ricks along with James Parker, your hosts. Extraordinaires. We've been doing this six and a half years. Love it. Sharing the information. I wish you could have heard everything we were talking about on the break, because we kind of went to break and we just kept going at it about where this is going and the problems and the blowing it up. And one of the things I expressed to James, and I can't recreate it, but we should have been recorded so we could play it.
Well, it's a little salty on my end.
Well, yeah. Well, mics were off. We can be a little more blunt. But here's one of the things we were talking about, and it started off with, well, you know, is this political, and is the Federal Reserve a separate entity? Because if you can ask for their resignation. And I think all this changes is because you could see Trump going in there and saying, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize this works this way, or this is where we're at. Or James said just a moment ago, he opens the vault and says, hey, folks, he addresses the nation. I checked the vault.
It's empty back there.
It's empty back there. And that's the reality, is what can be done, and it could end up being much worse. But I'm kind of hoping the truth teller's there. But one way to compare it is, yeah, we've got all the $4.8 trillion in bonds on the books at the Federal Reserve, and they've not unwound that. And we've been living on crack, these low interest rates, and these interest rates didn't come back up after the bond buying stop, and they were reducing interest rates. And in Jackson Hole, they basically told us that the bond buying was equivalent, this $4 trillion plus was equivalent of something like, was it -6, -7 interest rate? It's a big number.
I don't much buy that. But
it's a big number, still. But they realized that, yeah, we shouldn't have been dialing back the interest rates as much. Always in the rearview mirror, it's different, because you don't know going in, and when you've went through and said, should have changed lanes right there. So we've been living on this crack called low interest rates. Bank of Japan, Draghi, European Union, everybody is, and we all have to come off of it at somehow. And Greenspan saying one thing is going to push you off of it is inflation. Or do they ignore it? What could we have inflation that's higher than interest rates? Hey, who knows? But somehow you always think, and I'll tell it this way, you think we have to get back to some normalcy. Maybe we don't. We just stay stuck here.
Nah, we can make a new normal.
Until it pops.
We can make a new normal. Look, bonds will get cleaned out, but then you don't have to go to structured notes to chase yield anymore. You don't have to take on extra risk. You don't have to be forcing the stock market to go chase yield anymore.
No, we do need to get back to, I think we need to get back to where we got getting 3% on 10-year treasury, 4 on 20 or 30. I think it's 2.9 on 30-year treasuries right now. Let me go just pull that number from the market close. Yeah, let's see. 30-year treasuries, 2.963. The 10s are 2.15. 5 years, 1.5. 3 month are under 0.5%. The bond, the 10-year bond is 0.311. Look at that. They don't have.
What are they?
The German bond, the 10-year.
0.311, is that what you said?
0.311. The 2 year is negative 0.602.
Who would buy that?
Japan's 10 year is a negative 0.031. Spain's 2 year is a negative 0.108. So look, yeah, it's global is the problem, not just a U.S. problem.
Look, I am not one of those guys. I will probably never be one of those guys, but I totally understand if you're one of these people that has an underground bunker and food storage and non-hybrid seeds and piles of gold, and you're getting ready for the apocalypse.
I've got some spam, not enough to share yet.
Okay, well, get some more, because I'll be walking across the park in Lakeview to your house. Hey, look who's on the line. It's our buddy Dwayne Stein from Mortgage Gumbo, whose show's coming up in about 20 minutes. You better better make it quick, Dwayne. You're about to have a show to do.
Yeah, we are. And, just how y'all doing today?
I am well. Thank you.
Awesome. And you, brother?
Y'all, living a dream. Living the dream. What a great week. You know, election on Tuesday, and interest rates are rocking and rolling. They've kind of gone up on us a little bit, guys. You know, and but I think that's a good thing, right, Gregor? This is what we needed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's just, man, all of a sudden it was quick when it happened. It probably took you by surprise, too.
Yeah, but
4% mortgage isn't very soul-crushing, though.
Well, no, it's
3.89 was the last. I'm sure that's a close to correct number.
Yeah, went up over a quarter. Since Tuesday, since the election, rates have gone up over 0.25%. So it hit us. It hit us quick. We got ambushed. We got jumped from behind. But, you know, we're fighters.
Well, those that locked in. Those that locked in were good because a week ago, yeah, you're right, it was 3.61 on the third
year. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and we, you know, we look out for our clients, so we didn't have anybody. We did a lot of floating prior to the election, anticipating if this may happen. But, hey, just wanted to kind of also, I know you guys are heading out to Wine on the River, but wanted to let everybody know, come check us out. Mortgage Gumbo booth is booth 37. We're going to have tons of great giveaways. We're going to have wine pong. Not beer pong,
wine pong
at our booth. And so you get the opportunity to get some tickets there to enter to win an iPad Mini. So just
I'm telling
to make
you,
sure.
This is a wine fest. I think they gave it the wrong name, like beer
fest.
It's
going to be a
fest.
Yeah, but listen, this is supposed to be like, you know, kind of upper crusty, sort of like, you know, people that have patches on their elbows. And
well, you can stick your little pinky finger out.
I'll stick my pinky out, but Dwayne's showing up, and he's going to Chalmet the place up. We're trying to have a nice little erudite event.
And then hey, God's country, every now and then we dress up and play the part. You'll see that. I got my whole cross-country mortgage team. We're going to be out there. And, hey, the keepsake, how about this? Everybody that goes out there is going to, on their wine glass that they're going to be sipping, is going to have Mortgage Gumbo logo on the wine glass. So I'm just telling everybody, it's my party. Come on out. And
it is
your party,
you know?
All right, but if you go, what booth are you in? 37, is that what you said?
Yep, booth number 37. Come on by, say hi, and try to win an iPad just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a chair there. You can do a handstand. Dwayne will hold your feet, and then you have to drink the wine upside down. Is that what you're doing in addition to wine?
Yeah, we could get that going, whatever y'all want to do.
Are you
going
to have one of those construction hats with the straws that go into your mouth from the two little wine glasses on each side of your hat?
No, James, that would be if we were having it in Chalmette. So yeah. Not Chalmette. We're not
classless. Yeah.
You know.
Well, this is going to be fun. I didn't know there was going to be wine pong there.
Yeah.
Dwayne, they have these wine festivals. It's the first one in New Orleans, but they've had them elsewhere. And I've looked through some of the sites just to kind of get a feel of what we're in for.
Yeah.
I didn't see one of these other wine fests with wine pong.
That's right. Listen, Gregory Ricks years ago found me, plucked me from the abyss. He wanted me to be a difference maker. And we are trendsetters. We're pioneers. We do not follow suit. So that's right. And you know what? We're here to make wine pong popular. We're going to start a new trend out there.
I can't believe this guy's so good at mortgages, man. This guy owns his own business and has a staff of how many people? And
now he has a wine fest.
Yeah, he's got his wine fest. Well, he's not just doesn't have a wine fest. He's a wine fest innovator already. He can't stop. Dwayne, you're a character, dude. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. See y'all
later.
Out there. Have a great one.
See you at 3. Wine on the River, Mardi Gras World, 3 to 6. If you want to hang out with Dwayne, you might want to get there between 3 and 5, because that last hour, he may not be too coherent. Wine pong. And as much as I'm making fun of it, I'm going to play it.
It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Look, Tracy, another Total Wealth Authority member, Chalmette the place up. I'm digging on D. She's a Dwayne Stein fan as well.
Yeah, we all are.
All right, so now we just need to hear from Jude, and we've hit for cycle on the Total Wealth Authority. We've heard from Wes, Dwayne, and, well, Nola. So, Jude, where you at, bud? All right.
But that's, you know, and that's something we hadn't mentioned, but I'm glad he called just about the interest rate talk. Mortgages, you know, besides the Treasuries just jumping up, so did the mortgages.
Well, yeah, The bad news about this low interest rate environment is there's no yield. The good part about this low interest rate environment is you can get a mortgage for just a song these days. What a gift.
Did you see the rig count dropped by one?
By one? Great.
Well,
let's take what we can get.
That changed the, you know, change in direction.
Did you say the reserves piled up again?
Yeah, it did. It's okay. Kind of like, put that rig back on the yard there in Oklahoma City. Crude oil closed at $43.12 was the last, and gold at $1,227.40.
Coming up in 3 minutes, Gregory's going to walk us through the process of how to properly shop for a mutual fund. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Don't learn this anywhere else. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. All three of us have screwed up something today. Congratulations, guys. 3 for 3. You're just lucky that one happened in the background, folks. One segment left. 504-260-0995. And then we're not going to be able to help you for the rest of the day because I'm going to go home and change clothes, and we're going to go to the wine fest, and I'm not going to be much good for anything after that.
Well, are you dressing up or down? Is there, like, does Dwayne have, if we're Chalmetting it up, you know, what do we wear, flip-flops?
Well, no, I'm thinking of going the opposite direction, putting on the full suit and tie, because I want to be that guy playing wine pong, looking like a college professor, looking like I'm your lawyer in a trial. Yeah, so this is the last segment. If you got a question, you better call now, 504-260-0995. Of course, we're going to do another show on Monday if it has to wait. Monday at 7, we do this little gig here on the weekdays as well. Also, I got to mention Gregory Ricks Live coming up Tuesday. Roost Chris in Metairie, that's November 15th, 6:30 p.m. If you want to join us, still seats available. Sort of a rarity at this point. It's usually sold out, and we have to stop promoting it. So lucky for you, we still have some seats open. Go reserve your seat now. Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go to gregoryricks.com or call the office 504-832-9200. Doing some holiday shopping. No one's asked me for a mutual fund, but I know you got some good advice on how to pick one out. What? Got to shop for other things. I got to shop for Legos and toys now, but no mutual funds on the list.
Let's see. Is this your second year with four that you have to shop for?
Well, no, because
what's the timing? I'm not quite sure.
Well, the youngest, I had four kids last Christmas, but the youngest one wouldn't remember it, so I didn't get her anything.
Okay, so this is kind of like year one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Does that mean you're going Black Monday out there? I got to get the cheapest deals at 4 a.m.?
Oh, no, no. I'm still
pile of kids.
I'm still trying to convince a hot redhead that we don't have to get the youngest one anything because she's only one and she's not going to remember anyway. Right? I mean, what's the point?
Think about it. Some toys in storage, and she's like, oh, wow, this is all for me? Does she know? She wouldn't know.
No, she doesn't know.
Yeah,
no.
The problem is you know.
That's not my problem. That's her problem. She's the one with feelings and a conscience.
I know. You're more bigger picture.
Yes,
she's
bigger
the detail. And it's like, and the detail probably bothers her. You know, these are old.
No, it doesn't bother me. Dude, it's a baby. Get them a cardboard box and they'll be ecstatic. I know how to do kids. I get good gifts.
Oh.
When they remember them.
Yeah. Kids have a lot of fun with cardboard boxes. Like, man. And there's some firms that now create cardboard boxes with printing and all, like they can have their little box fort and stuff. Turn that into a business. Well, heck, we still don't buy that. Let's just get some markers and go get a big box out the dumpster.
Oh, and you know, one more thing before we do the mutual fund shopping process. We told it on the show last night, but I want to tell the Saturday audience. Gregory paid off his bets from the Super Bowl and the March Fed non-rate hike. He owed me two bottles of Malbec, and he graced me last night with four bottles of Malbec. So not only does Lannister pay his debts, Gregory doubles what he owes you. So that's fantastic. All right, now, thank you very much for being an honorable man. Tell me how to shop for mutual funds. How do you pick one out?
We had an individual in the other day, and to his surprise was the mix of A-share mutual funds in his portfolio because he had advisor / institutional mutual funds, which means there's no front end load. So when I say a loaded fund, like an A-share mutual fund, for example, you would have, on an equity type fund, you would have a 5.75% front end load. Now, the more money you put into it, that load can be reduced.
Does the guy listening know what a front end load is?
It's a commission that's deducted from, you put in $100,000, if you have 5.75, so basically 5750 is pulled out of $100,000. That's $5,750. How do you like that? I kind of would like, if I put $100,000 in, can I net $100,000 in? Well, you can't with a front-end loaded fund, and that happens a lot. And how long has this been going on? Well, since 1920s, when funds were first created, on through the Depression and since. And we don't think it is suitable. And definitely, as a fiduciary, we work with the client's best interest in mind there first, so that there's no way I can imagine explaining to you why it's so great having a 5.75% charge up front, making sure you're clear understanding. And by the way, there's funds without that, but I think it's in your best interest to put to pay 5.75% on that money going in as a commission. And then, by the way, yeah, the expense ratio is a little bit higher on these, but we're going to work harder for you. And also, there is a marketing fee, and they're called a 12B1 fee. And, right, I get, I see where you're going with that. I get compensation on the 5.75, I get compensation on the 12B1 fee. Oh, and there's a expense ratio because the fund itself is still managing the funds. The front-end load doesn't cover that, and a 12B1 fee does not cover that. There's still an expense ratio, so there's a cost of buying and selling and paying the portfolio managers as well. So when I explain it to you that way, wouldn't you want to know more? Well, tell me more about the ones that don't. Well, the ones that don't would be, say, an institutional or advisor. Because when you can go look at a family of funds, go to Morningstar and do a search, and you're going to be able to see, yeah, there's front-end loaded funds, but they also have the same fund name without that. Oh, no front-end load, no 12B1 fee, and by George, the expense ratio's less, too. If they were telling you you had both, what would you choose?
The cheaper one.
Yeah, it's not full disclosure there. And that best interest, they're just saying, well, I'm advising that this is what's in his best interest. No, it's what's best interest in your pocketbook. And guess what? This gentleman the other day, they were charging him a 0.75% management fee on top of that. Totally unethical. Well, he had no loads into the mix or institutional level funds, but he had a share. Well, they shouldn't have been feeing on top of those. Here's the problem with it. It's a buy and hold tool that you're supposed to stay in 5 to 6 years to justify it. Well, if you're listening to David Stockman, or Alan Greenspan today that we've played excerpts from, you go back and listen to those on the show next week, you're going to see that interest rates going up, all this comes apart. How are you going to put money in a front-end loaded fund, stay there for 5 years when you could have a cataclysmic market event coming that not only are you down 6% because of the load, that now you're down another 10% because of the correction or more. Now you're 16% behind, and you're going to stay in it for 5 to 6 years. That's the reason not to use those, because you're wanting to put money in, net all your money, and if you have to change course, I would rather be able to get most of it back out, subject to how much did it go down.
Ed and Kenner, you're going to be the last caller on today's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Make it good, Ed.
Sir?
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Welcome to the show.
My name's Ed. I listen to 99.5 often. This isn't more of a financial question. It's more of a matter that I've been having with stores.
Okay. Did we lose him? You there, Ed? Well, looks like Ed's gone. Ed, We're on about another minute and a half, so try to ring us back.
Or maybe we'll just talk to him after the show if he calls back.
After the show.
Yeah, we're done.
But back to the mutual funds, is you have to understand those differences. And if you see the code name, and let's just, I'm going to make one of PBJXM.
Oh, now I got it.
It's a fun code. And there'll be a space, and if there's a letter A, B, or C after that,
It's not one.
I made up one. Okay. And if there's a letter A, B, or C after the five-letter fund code name, then you're in a loaded fund. Now, when you go through Morningstar or do a search, they'll show there's letters, but they're not going to show up because they're not loaded. It's just when you see that A, B, or C, you could have a R or institutional R6. You could have a Z fund. Those aren't going to be loaded. But some of the expense ratios can still vary in the design or maybe the backdoor offerings. Like Edward Jones, you go to their website, and on their website, they're going to show a backdoor deal that the funds, that the loaded funds that they recommend actually compensate back to Edward Jones. Really, is that ethical as well? More on Monday.
We have Gregory Ricks Live coming up Tuesday. We have Wine on the River at Mardi Gras World coming up at 3 today. You're home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Mortgage Gumbo next.
Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use.